Yes, sir.
Hello.
It's me.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Hey, man, you know, it really do be going sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't go, but then, you know, it starts back up. So I gotta say that it do be going.
That's crazy, bro. That is honestly so insightful.
Thank you.
My guy. Man, I mean, this we got a special pre-show today. All right.
Okay. Flora's coming?
Flora's out of the house as she usually is when we're recording the podcast. So I got something special for you. I got an exclusive interview. All right.
Okay.
Got an exclusive interview. You know, reached out to this dev on Twitter. It's a new, really interesting genre. It's a co-op puzzle FPS. And it's called Bofa.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that say?
I'm not quite sure. But, you know, unfortunately, Jeff Grubb beat me to this. If you guys saw the Summer Game Mess, he mentioned Bofa was dropping. I guess he said he didn't know about it. He didn't know Bofa was dropping. So I feel like, you know, this is a good opportunity for us to be the first people to break this news. So it is published by, let me read my notes here, D's Incorporated. Okay. So it's D's and then the letter N and then Incorporated.
Incorporated,
so
that's
pretty creative,
that is.
Yeah. And it is rated T for teen, all right? So the interview, I have it all written down right here. So I talked to the dev, and this is, he said, quote, lol, yeah, it's going to be good. If you like games, it's probably going to be good.
Okay.
In which case, I followed up by asking, probably, will it be good or won't it? And then the dev responded, who's asking? And I said, what do you mean I'm asking? And then to which he responded, what are you going to do if I don't tell you?
Okay.
And to which I responded, oh, nah. And I ended the interview there. So it was a really good, insightful interview. I hope that, you know, hope that conversation gives you a little sneak peek into what the game's going to be like. If you guys are looking forward to it, that's a little more, give you a little more to chew on, so to speak. So,
okay.
So, yeah.
You know, my number one question when we get these, you get these types of interviews here, do we have a release date on Bofa?
Yeah, I actually, you're good. Thank you for calling it out. I actually did, you know, get asked that, and the dev did respond. He said it is coming out April 20th, 2020.
Okay,
so that was last year.
Last year he said it was coming out.
I did say he said it was coming out last year. I did, you know, kind of push back on that and said, well, it's 2021 now, so
okay.
Are you saying it came out a year ago? And you know, he didn't really respond to that part. So I'm not. It might be out already. That's the part I'm not I'm not sure about. It might be released already. So
okay,
go out there, gamers, and go find that damn game and
go
play it.
Bofa on Google right now. Add it. Look for it on Steam. Look for it on Google. You know, Epic Game Store. You should be able to.
He honestly did not tell me what platforms it was releasing on. Unfortunately,
I mean, Google should be able. They should at least, you know, tell you.
Yeah, you can go look it up. Bofa. Bofa by D's Incorporated. Yeah.
Cool. Nice. Well, yeah, I'm really glad that you got us that exclusive interview. You know, it's stuff
absolutely.
Like this that really, you know, puts us ahead of the game, you know, ahead of our competition, and kind of, you know,
absolutely.
Sets us apart from the other podcasts out there. So big props to you,
100%. 100%. Yeah, I mean, guys, keep listening. It's because of your support that we get exclusives like this. So I really hope, especially around E3 coming up, I really hope we get a couple more that we can talk about here.
Beautiful. Just beautiful, man.
All right, well, let's start the damn show out, shall we?
Let's go.
All right. Let me go ahead and sync up here. Let's do the rigmarole.
That's the
count to three, clap, and then we're getting into it, baby.
Yes, sir.
One, two, three. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to episode 149 of the Player Podcast. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to both old and new additions to our crew tuning in to listen to us do what we do. What's that, Arson?
Talk about video games.
Talk about video games. Every Thursday of every week, we gather around the virtual water cooler to discuss video games and the culture surrounding them. I'm your host, Joseph Hooper, a.k.a. The Hoop Man, along with my co-host, the sharpshooter himself, Arsene Lakpa.
Pew, 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 pew. You guys heard those shots that just fired off, right? Well, if I were you, I'd duck. Yeah, I hope y'all ducked right there. Because if you didn't, you got hit right in the back of the head with a little squirt from my water gun. Oh, I'm a sharpshooter, bro. And you never know. Next time, might be an airsoft pellet. Next time, might be a Nerf dart. You never know.
You keep your squirt gun away from me.
No, sir.
Sir?
No, sir.
Oh, no. Nah. Anyways, guys, just a quick reminder. If you guys want to help support the show, you guys can go to playerplayerpod.com. Go to the bottom of the page and visit our Ko-fi link. There, you guys can donate as low as a dollar. And if you guys don't want to support monetarily, you guys can also help by sharing the show to your friends or leaving a positive review on your platform of choice. That being said, man, let's get into it. How's it going?
You know, man, it's pretty good. You know, this time right before we started up, I tried to think about what's going on in my life. You know, what things have been affecting me this past week or so. And not too much. Once again, I'm sitting here and I'm like, I'm living kind of a boring life, but I'm not living La Vida Loca as I would like to. So, you know, just kind of a little regular run of the mill type beat. You know, we got had to make our little Trader Joe's run, and here we go. I'm about to put y'all on to something else. Now this, you know, anytime I go to Trader Joe's, it's gonna be something. Y'all gonna get something. Y'all gonna get some type of piece of information, bro. So I'm give you a little background here. So you know your boy likes tacos. Who doesn't like a good taco? You know, I make it the American way. I don't have experience making any other type of way. You know, you get your ground beef or your ground turkey, whatever meat you want to consume. You throw it in the pot or throw it in the pan, brown it up, and then you put like put your spices on it, however you want to season it. Typically, you go to your Publix, you go to your Walmart, you get your old El Paso, you get your Taco Bell, you know, season pack, and it's like, meh, it's all right, or meh, it's that. Trader Joe's taco seasoning mix, bro. They kind of mixed it up. They whipped it up in the kitchen correctly. That's all I'll say. The way that they got this, you know, season packaging, for one, it's spicy. You know, I put the whole packet in there, bro. I take a bite. I'm like, I get a little coughing. I start coughing a little bit on them. That's how, I mean, I won't say I'm like I'd say I have like a medium spice tolerance, but it at least like hits you with the kick. That's the best way to describe it. It's not like a super spicy thing, like, oh, it's unbearable, like, oh, it's like a Grim Reaper challenge at a restaurant or something like that. No, this is a nice hit of spice, and it's just the best. Like, it's the best, like, out-of-the-box type of taco seasoning mix that I think I've ever had from a big store or something like that. So, y'all, next time y'all are running through Trader Joe's, get the taco seasoning mix. You will not be disappointed. Trust me on this one. Trust me on this one.
I do create my own taco seasoning mix. I have my own homemade solution. But
what do you put in yours?
You know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know what I mean?
Oh, so we're not sharing family recipes, huh?
No, it's not for my family, my friend. I'll tell you that. It's not for my family.
That's kind of suspicious, bro. You got me kind of...
Allrecipes.com, my guy. Allrecipes.com.
Okay.
They got all the recipes. That's true.
I wonder how many recipes they got on there. Do they really have all the recipes? They don't have my recipes.
You sure about that?
I'm pretty confident,
bro. When's the last time you checked, bro?
Shit, you're right. I'll check it after this episode. Other than that, in life... Oh, I'm trying to think. There was one other thing that happened to me today. Oh, yes. Yesterday, actually, I went and, I guess last weekend or whatever, ordered a new mouse pad for the desk. Whoa. Your boy's, you know, I'm trying to go MLG. I'm trying to go pro. And I can't go pro if I got a little baby boo-boo mouse pad that can't fit, that can't, you know, compensate for all of my large arm movements. So I needed a full-on, like this little mouse pad takes up, I want to say, 90% of the width of my desk. So this thing is all across the desk, and it feels nice, y'all. So HyperX, they be making the products that anything that you might need for your gaming needs. This is not sponsored, by the way, but I'm just gonna give them a shout out anyways. HyperX, y'all did the damn thing with this mouse pad. I think it's kind of hard to, you know, mess up a mouse pad. You know, if you're messing up mouse pads, you probably shouldn't be. You should get out of the. Pads, yeah, you shouldn't be making mouse pads. You probably should get out of the. I guess, the creation business. You don't make any goods. Mm-hmm. How about that? Go back to work for somebody else in that regard. And other than that, just been playing some games. But you know, obviously, we'll get to that when we get to that. You feel me? What have you been up to this past week?
Let me tell you. Got a couple couple things. You know, Invincible season just ended. Shout out to Invincible. God damn.
Yes, sir. Good season
of television, let me tell you. Had me feeling all types of ways. So, you know, I had to go out this weekend, get the Ultimate Edition, Volume 1 or whatever. So, haven't started yet. Haven't cracked it open yet, but I'm looking forward to it. Hyped about that. Shout out to Invincible Season 1.
Wait, did you grab the compendium or like the collection? Like the hardback, like the smaller
collection.
The collection. Okay.
Yes.
Cool. I just want to know. I just want to see what you ended up going with.
Yep. It looks great quality. They didn't even have the compendium, if I remember correctly, when I went to the shop. So yeah, pick that up, and then what else do we got here? I made bubble tea this weekend. It was a great, you know, fun process.
Excellent.
Used the recipe from, you know, a fan favorite, a podcast favorite, Joshua Weissman.
We need him on the podcast, bro.
We need to get this man on the damn show. Made his bubble tea recipe, and let me tell you, you fucked me. Ooh. I was fucked. It took me out. I was knocked out for at least 2 hours. Let me tell you, man.
Wait a minute.
This is when I realized my body cannot process whole milk. It just can't do it. I don't know what's happened. You know, I feel like I used to eat cereal with whole milk at some point. Those days are gone, bro. Whole milk is poison to my body. It can't do it. You want to kill me? You want to, you know, slide a little sun in my drink? Don't want to have to worry about me ever again? Throw some whole milk in there, because that shit took me out. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, the recipe was, you know, shout out to Joshua Weissman. It was a masterclass recipe. You know, it felt like everything was right. Amanda enjoyed it. Even I enjoyed the taste. But, you know, immediately I knew that I had made a mistake. I think this is the second time I drank whole milk in like the last year or two, where I was just like, wait a second, why is this happening to me? So ended up, you know, out of commission, like, you know, a good chunk of Sunday, and then had to throw it all up. You know, I know this is a little graphic for you guys at home, but this is real. This ain't no baby podcast. I'm going to tell you how
fake,
it is.
The fake podcast. This is the real, real.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to tell you what I had, the war that I had to fight this weekend. All right. So, I was down, but I am not out already. I am still going look and find alternatives to the whole milk to figure out, you know, how to get that, you know, same quality taste without, you know, absolutely fucking, you know, killing myself, essentially.
How can you use 2%? Like, what's the big deal? What does the whole milk do?
We could. I mean, I don't know. We could use 2%. You know, I don't know. I got to look into it. Maybe I could use creamer and use mostly tea. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, other than that, I have one last update that I want to use to segment into like the first, like a quick discussion. And this is, you know, the main episode I want to talk about, first person shooters, you know, as per ours request. But as of yesterday, I am the brand new owner of a new 55-inch LG C10 TV, top of the line. We went all out, and when I say as of yesterday, I made the purchase yesterday. It's not actually here. It'll get here next Wednesday. But I feel like I've talked about this, you know, last year, but this was the TV that I was eyeing for a while. This was going to be my big upgrade, but last year I was just like, I guess I'm not ready yet. Like, I ended up buying like Xbox, PS5. So I was like, I'll wait till next year. Well, you know, I was like, I was thinking about it the other day. I was like, I can't wait to get this TV. So I was like, let me just do some research on the newest models. Looked up the newest models, the newest LG models, and basically they were like, oh yeah, this one's not that much different. So, like, if you wanted to get the old one and save a couple bucks, get the old one. And I was looking, and the old one was like $500 cheaper. Okay. And I was like, that's money. And so I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and buy this before they take it off the market.
A quick spec rundown. What's going on in this TV?
I mean, let me tell you, it was highly regarded as the best 4K TV of 2020. And I think it's still, you know, it's going to hold up hold up for years to come. All right. We got 55-inch 4K, 120 frames per second or 120 hertz on the damn TV, HDMI 2.1, four HDMI ports that all support HDMI 2.1. Colors are just, you know, I hear colors are beautiful. It supports freaking G-Sync, I believe, which is crazy. It's a damn 55-inch TV that supports G-Sync. It just seems like it's going to be a good TV to, you know, really set my system right, my entertainment system right for the foreseeable future. So I'm hyped about it, you know. I'm hyped to make the purchase and then not worry about it. This is probably one of my, you know, my big purchase of the year, just way earlier than I usually make it. So I'm looking forward to it.
Nice.
But yeah, I mean, I'm happy. I feel like last year I updated my speaker system. This year, upgrading the TV. And now I feel like my entertainment system is pretty set for the time being. You just mentioned you bought a mouse pad, which is, you know, not the same as buying a damn TV. But
close.
I want to segue into, like, do you have any more upgrades down the line that you're looking to make? Like, I know you just got your graphics card.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any things in the PC department where you're like, I still got to upgrade these couple small pieces? Or have you and Angelique talked about upgrading your TV or soundbar or anything like that? Where's your home entertainment systems, your gaming systems setups right now? Are you content or are you still building towards something?
I am currently content. However, I'm pretty much always in the, like, you know, mindset of wanting to upgrade at least some aspect of, you know, my little system here. Like, we've got a, I think this TV is like 40 inch. We've got a nice sound bar with subwoofer type, like that kind of setup.
Yes, sir.
And it's nice and all, but I want it to be a little bit more. I just wanted a little bit bigger of a screen. I wanted it to be a bit more fleshed out space, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I think all of my plans for any type of upgrades, like both in the PC department and the TV entertainment department, are just going to wait until we get a bigger place or a place that is like, or either like a bigger apartment or our own home or something like that. Just because, sure, you know, our apartment, it's pretty small, and we got a little cat tree in the background, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't be, where there's not a lot of space to do. I also want another desk, like a way bigger desk, like at least like 70 or so inches, just so that way, you know, I'll have like, you know, this is like my battle station, and then add that onto the desk that I currently have, you know, have like a whole IKEA workstation. Damn. Bro, this is all like, you know, the future ideas. Like, when I have my room where I'm gonna be operating out of, I'm gonna have like that like L-shaped like desk space. That's kind of what I'm building towards. That's why I went ahead and got this current desk that I have. But, you know, it's just, that's going to be at least probably like 2 years down the line from now. So no immediate plans. But I guess like kind of just throwing some things out that I want to get. There may be a TV in the future. You know, we may get a new TV in this space here. I'm not exactly sure where we would put it, but, you know, it may come along someday. And I think I just want to dedicate a little bit more to my streaming setup.
Okay.
Right now we've got the mic on the mic arm. That's straight and all. Everything, you know, is pretty crispy. Want a new camera, like an actual, like, dedicated streaming camera. Like, the webcam is nice and all, but, you know, I think we could do a little bit better in that regard. and just like those like streaming basics. You know, you get your Stream Deck, you get your a foot pedal or some stuff like that. Just something to elevate my streams, you know. So in the next upcoming years, I'm hoping to upgrade in that department. And yeah, man, that's kind of what I'm looking at right now. So I guess the short answer is no, I am not. We got no update. No updates coming in the near future.
Okay. Interesting. Well, I guess, yeah, podcast is still going to go. So when you do make the updates, I'm sure we'll talk about it here. My updates are pretty much done, or like my updates to my system are pretty much done. Now that the TV is kind of locked in, I don't really have a lot of more space to expand my speaker setup. And, you know, my gaming setup is my TV. So I don't currently plan to upgrade my PC or anything anytime soon. So that's that. Also, nice. Quick update before we go to the topic. I was talking about these sneakers last week. For the past 2 weeks, I was saying, like, hey, I'm trying to get them. Got delayed. Last week, I was getting ready to get them, and your boy got them. Your boy locked them in. Excellent. Your boy got the sneakers of the year here.
Yes, sir.
Arriving tomorrow, and it'll be a good time, man. Shout out to Sneaker Culture. I'm a big fan, and the rush of copying a sneaker as it just drops on the site, unmatched, bro. Mostly triggering 90% of the time, but those times where I get lucky, unmatched.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that you're getting some dubs out there. I know y'all be struggling in the
drop channel. You know, we do be struggling.
Y'all be taking L's on the daily.
Absolutely. 99% L's. Every now and again, you'll get a dub.
Like that's the good thing about like the shoe game, though, where, you know, you've got, when you get a dub, you know, one, not only is it satisfying to finally get that dub, you know, you finally feel like it's paid off, but like two, that's still like pretty big bucks in terms of like if you're, you know, gonna be reselling it. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, the good thing about it is like whenever you get a dub, like, or whenever you are able to buy a sneaker, like depending on what you're getting, that's an investment that, you know, for the most part will hold its value or most of its value. So like if I don't wear the shoe, it'll definitely be worth, you know, extra money that I could resell and turn a profit there. Or if I wear it, like a lot of times they're still worth a little bit depending on how hype they are. And then, you know, sometimes I just buy casual, regular shoes and I lose money on them. But the other sneakers, you know, will make up for that. So it's a fun hobby that I don't really end up losing a lot of money on. So it's cool.
Excellent.
That being said, man, we're done talking about fucking fun, bro. Yeah. We're talking about nitty gritty, yeah, grinding, getting dubs, FPSs, baby, FPSs. So I want to talk about, you know, a lot of different aspects about this. So basically, I want to talk about our relationships with competitive shooters, with FPS. And in addition to, you know, generally talking about it, I was going to say we could talk about the Apex launch, but maybe we can talk about that next weekend or next episode because servers have been down. I haven't played it. Right. I don't know if you've played it at all.
No.
So we can pick that up. But basically R was asking in the Discord, like, how do we feel about, you know, competitive play, people that go real hard, people that squad up and are really grinding versus people that are just booling. I don't fully know like what he was getting at, like what he wanted to hear us talk about, but let's talk about our relationship with FPS. You play way more FPS than I do at this point. You get more competitive, like you play Apex a lot now, you played a lot of Warzone. What's your relationship with the FPS competitive shooting genre? Like, are you in it to win it at all times? Like, if you're playing something, what is your goal? Are you playing it to unlock stuff, to look fly, to have a good time, to be the best? Like, what's your end goal and what's your relationship there?
I think just like right off the bat, I kind of got like three goals in mind when I think about shooters. I think number one, getting wins in games, I think is super important to me, because it's like, bro, that's the ultimate way of showing, like, hey, you successfully completed the task in the game. This is your badge of honor, blah, blah, blah. You know, how many dubs you got, like, that type of stuff is pretty interesting to me. Secondly, getting kills. It doesn't I don't find it kind of like is like a supplement to the win category, where if I'm playing let's say I'm playing Warzone or Apex and I'm running around mm-hmm. the map for 15 minutes and we get a win after, like, you know, shooting the last guy like once in the head with one bullet, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's cool and all, we got the win and all, but it doesn't feel as satisfying. You know, there's like the times where you're popping off, where the odds may be against you, you got three enemies against you, kind of those high stress situations in games where you can mm-hmm. like kind of clutch up and come out on top and end up like winning a game, or I guess like just performing very well in the game and getting lots of kills. I think that's also super cool. And then the final aspect for me, I think, is just like, I don't know what's the best way to say this. I just want to flex, bro. I'm trying to flex on my friends. That's kind of mm-hmm. like the third aspect for me. I want to be able to say, look here, bro, I'm better than my friends. These guys sucked. I'm putting everybody on my back. I'm the champion, which is not the case in within our little friend group, bro. Doug,
right.
That man, Doug, he built different, but that's because he's cheating, bro. He spent all those years playing Counter-Strike Go. Like, come on, like, how am I supposed to compete? The only way to compete with that, I need to go back in time, start out, you know, when I'm the same age as Doug, start playing CSGO every night or whatever he did, and then I can be that way today. But unfortunately, I did not do that, so unfortunately, I will never be number one within our Discord friend group or anything like that. But, you know, just kind of like, thinking in
you need
of
to go back
idea.
In time, go to Doug's house, steal his computer, break into his house. First of all, traumatize him a little bit. Ooh, somebody broke into his house.
Yeah, yeah.
Take his equipment so he can't play if he wanted to.
And then I come back, tell his parents that the video games are actually bad for him. Okay. Yeah. So that way
I don't know how, talking to his parents. I mean, they'd probably say, oh, no, are you the person that robbed us? And then
I'll say, no, sir, not me. I would never fair rob enough. your family or your son. That would be the only thing I would take too. Just his computer, nothing else. Because I'm not a villain, bro. I'm not gonna go into somebody's house and just steal their money or something. I'm just stealing his computer.
Absolutely,
I'm stealing his entertainment.
100%. So, and then come back for some reason and coerce his parents to never let him play a game again.
Exactly.
I think that's smart.
Don't let him pick the sticks back up. So that's kind of my. I guess what I look at when I'm playing, first person shooters, I don't think I've ever really gotten into the competitive side, like in a more professional sense. I've never gotten into a competitive side, except if it's like, you know, if I'm watching somebody play competitively. The closest I've mm-hmm. gotten would have to be, I guess, Apex Ranked. That's the only shooter game that I've played that has had a ranked system that I've enjoyed. I think I played mm-hmm. Valorant for, you know, a little bit, but I was not fucking with Valorant whatsoever. So,
right,
that's my experience there.
Yeah, I mean, kind of jump off. I mean, everything you said is pretty much kind of exactly where I'm at. Like, mm-hmm. When I jump into, it depends, right? Like, I'm not like the biggest competitive gamer, but. I did have my stint with Halo back in the day, with Call of Duty. We played, Fortnite, and I played Apex a lot recently. So all the things you listed, 100%, I'm in it to get wins. I'm in it to get kills. And I'm in it to just basically be like, hey, look, if we're going to play this, I'm going to be the best at it. And, you know, that's kind of what I'm driving for. Like, if we're going to be, you know, playing as a group, I want to be the one running the group type of thing. Mm-hmm. And I 100% agree with that. I mean, I just feel like over time, my motivation to be motivated in these games has dropped off. And I kind of like, you know, I have no problem with people that are like, you know, competitive, that are driving, like even more so than we typically are. Like they're, you know, they're driving, putting hours into ranked and stuff like that. But from my perspective, at this point, I'm just kind of in it to, you know, be good, but also have fun. Like, have that carrot dangling on the stick. Like back in the day, you know, like for Halo, it was like getting new armor sets and having like always having cool new armor sets, getting new recon helmets and stuff like that. It was kind of like a battle pass before the battle pass was invented, because you knew at certain levels you would unlock, you know, certain levels of armor and all this good stuff. And it was a good time. And it was all about having that badge. Same with Call of Duty, where you're like, I just want to be prestige or X, Y, and Z. And that's kind of what I'm building towards. And then, you know, along the way, you unlock weapons and stuff that really kind of keep you motivated with the game. Obviously, Battle Royale has changed that completely, right? I shout out Fortnite, because I still think their battle passes are super appealing and exciting. And the fact that they put all these, you know, properties that you know and love into the game, really kind of, you know, and not only that, but they, you know, add events to the actual world where you can, like, you know, you play the game, but you can also go visit these in-world events and do challenges that way. It kind of, like, gives you incentive to keep coming in and experiencing something new. But, like, when we get to Apex, it is by far the best feeling, first-person shooter that I've played out of the new group. But at a certain point, like R is saying, like, you just kind of run into a wall where, like, when you run into somebody that's better than you, it's kind of frustrating more than motivating. Just because, like, I don't have, like, you know, a ton of time to devote to Apex. And when I do devote a ton of time to Apex, it doesn't feel like I'm making that much progress. Compared to, like, back in the day when I was playing Halo or Call of Duty or something like that, just because I think the Battle Royale genre is almost milking your time to keep you invested in the game. Like you said, you can play, you know, an hour long match or 30 minute long match or whatever, win the game. But, you know, one of your teammates just shot somebody in the head and you barely did anything that game.
Right.
That kind of adds another level of, like, well, shit, like, we won, but I literally did nothing. Like, it doesn't feel good to have this win. Whereas back in the day, when you play, like, 3v3, 4v4, objective-based games, everybody had to do their part because it was only an 8-player, 10-player game. Even, you know, and I'm going to bring this up later, even in games like Battlefield, like, where, you know, they were one of the first people to really do the huge-scale you know, map battles well. There was a lot of times where I'm flying around in planes and just doing random shit, and, like, we still win, and I feel like I had no key, you know, influence on the outcome of the game. Right. But at the same time, like, I was having many fights and many wars in the game through the whole time, right? Like, you're having air fights during this game. Like, you're running up on squads in tanks and like you're trying to disable tanks and you're trying to, you know, have 1v1s against people all across the map, right? I always felt engaged when playing those types of games. And the Battle Royale, I think, does, you know, a fantastic job at, you know, driving people to really, you know, overcome a big challenge of, like, you got to make it through, I don't know, like, what, 60 other teams or whatever it is, like 30 other teams. Like, you got to make it through a lot of people just to get this victory, which is, you know, really motivating, because it's like, oh man, like, when you get a win, you've beat all these people. It's not just beating one other team that might be scrubs. Like, you beat all of these people, so you feel a little bit more validated. But after putting so many hours into Apex, it's just kind of like, all right, like, if these people are so good that, you know, we're in the final circle and, like, there's no way we could beat them, and, like, we just kind of get absolutely hosed, it's like, well, all right, I spent 30 minutes in that game and that kind of felt trash. Or if I get, you know, shot from behind or flanked or something third party, it's like, oh well. So I'm hoping that, you know, the new 3v3 mode kind of gets me back into it, where I can feel like my time that I put into the game is like I get value out of all that time, right? I can immediately start shooting people. If I die, I die. But, you know, it's all about me and my team working together to get a dub, not scavenging for weapons, finding teams, avoiding third parties, all that stuff. How do you feel about the Battle Royale, you know, changing the landscape of multiplayer? Like, I feel like you were talking about, like, playing mainline Call of Duty, like matchmaking, like last year sometime. I could be misremembering, like, the timeline, but I remember you were like, hey, like, we got to get the new Black Ops or whatever, or the, you know, Cold War, because, you know, we should play matchmaking. How do you feel about, you know, traditional gaming versus you know, the new battle royale and how that affects your motivation.
So I think, I guess, like, starting off by talking about, like, battle royale, my, I guess, interest slash love for the genre has kind of, I would say it's definitely, like, dipped since from the beginning when I first heard about, like, these battle royale style games. I think I like to personally date it all the way back to high school playing Minecraft Hunger Games. That for me was like one of the first, like, you know, battle royale type game, last person, last team surviving. That's where it's at right there. I think that during that time, Hunger Games was still very, obviously, which is why it was called Minecraft Hunger Games. Hunger Games was still like a very like prevalent, part of like society, very prevalent part of like, I guess like the not gaming culture, but just like culture amongst like the youths. Like everybody knew about Hunger Games. Everybody was either reading the books or watching the movies or something like that. So it was kind of like natural that kind of translated into the gaming space. And then from there, we kind of, you know, birthed the battle royale genre. And so when I'm seeing like all these like full on, these large studios, you know, dedicating entire games to battle royale rather than just having like a side mode to it, I'm like, okay, sure. This is something that is very interesting to me. But then I think as time went on, it just kind of like battle royales for me are just kind of like right there in the middle. I would never consider it to be like my favorite genre of game, but I definitely would not consider it to be like, oh, I hate battle royales or anything like that. It's just like sits there right like in a sweet spot right in the middle. And yeah, I feel like it's gonna stay there for quite some time until I either get burned out or, you know, something like, you know, very major happens in these games where it may, you know, pique my interest again. Because right now I think it's like in the middle, but it, you know, kind of like does like, you know, up and down, like in terms of like my interest level in the battle royale genre. Kind of moving towards the, I guess, regular shooter aspect though, I think the battle royale was definitely a gateway for me to get into shooter games because I'd never growing up, I just never had, I never bought into those shooting games. Never had Halo, never had Call of Duty. Literally didn't pick up a Call of Duty game until like the end of high school when some friend, I picked up, I think it was Modern Warfare 2 at the end of high school. Now, this is like what year was that? 2014, 2015. I'm picking up a game from 2008. Talking about some, yeah, let me go ahead and hop in here just in the private lobby with my friends just to play a little bit. You know, just because like, you know, the game was only like $5 or something in GameStop. I was like, I might as well see what people were playing. So even then, I wasn't really hype about it. Battle Royales are what really got me into shooting games. Battle Royales, Fortnite got me into it, followed by Apex just a little bit when we played like that first week, I think. And then I think Call of Duty Warzone had to have been the big one because before that, never owned a COD game. You would have never, I wouldn't be caught dead with Call of Duty in my library, bro. I was always that one talking about something. Call of Duty, it's the same every year. It's just like Madden, like, you know. Yeah. Stuff. I was that kid. Now I'm sitting here like, okay, I understand, you know, why people like Call of Duty. I like playing, like, you know, your search and destroy, your domination, your team deathmatch, all the different game modes that are just like, it's fun to play with a group. It's fun to, you know, kind of like develop your skill as, I guess, what a gamer, as a first person shooter player. And now I think I'm here, man. I'm here at a point where shooters are kind of, they're not my gaming identity, but like it's definitely a considerable part of my gaming identity. So I guess that's kind of my shooter history, I guess is the best way to describe that right there. But yeah. What about you, man? How do you feel about these the battle royales and versus, I guess, regular competitive shooters?
Look, man, I think that the battle royale genre is not played out, but we need something alongside that. Because I mean, it's not super exciting to me when every game has a, you know, 90 person thing. Like I don't want my FPS experience, multiplayer experiences to always be tied to, okay, I need to play against 90 other people. Sometimes I do want like a more focused, you know, 1v1 or even like, you know, 3v3 wouldn't work, but you know, just a smaller, more contained deathmatch experience, or like the Apex style or Valorant style. I wasn't super into Valorant because just the whole shooting mechanic style, where you don't, you know, you're not really supposed to move, and how long the matches are and stuff, that's not really my jam. But I really do think that I hope we see like a return of, you know, more condensed and simple game styles, where it doesn't always have to be like 90 people on the map, you know, competing. I think Apex excels so well because, not necessarily because it's a battle royale, but because the shooting mechanics are so, so good. The guns feel so good. Mm-hmm. Like the characters feel great. The movement feels great. And all the kind of, you know, mechanics and, you know, map features that they add all work so well together. I want to see how that looks outside of the battle royale genre. Like we have, in my opinion, three very interesting, tests for the market, for the gaming landscape. This year we have, you know, Knockout City, which sounds crazy, right? Like who's really talking about Knockout City? But we played Knockout City a couple weeks ago, and it was kind of like a breath of fresh air, where it's like, we're squatting up three people, and we're just kind of going at it against, you know, another group with these cool, interesting mechanics that feel pretty good, right? Mm-hmm. That's really all I was asking. And the huge problem with this is like, hey, look, you want us to pay $20 for this? Well, no, like Apex feels so good. I'm not going to pay $20 to play it when, you know, I have all these other options here that feel, you know, just as, if not better, than the thing you're trying to make me pay $20 for. So we have Knockout City, which is going to be free on Game Pass. We have Halo Infinite, and we have Battlefield 6. If these all aren't free, which we already know too, I guess we already know Halo Infinite is going to be free. Knockout City is basically free. If Battlefield 6 isn't free, I don't know what the fuck they're doing, honestly. Because nobody's really trying to pay, you know, $60, $70 for a multiplayer experience in 2021. It's just not going to happen. But if they all are free, I'm interested to see how they try and tackle this idea of, like, you know, I know Halo said we're not making a battle royale. Knockout City is obviously a more traditional, you know, the gameplay mechanics are completely new and fresh and right, really cool, but it's more traditional 3v3. Battlefield built on, you know, big battles, so honestly probably is the, you know, lends itself best to the battle royale format, I guess, but not really, because it's more focused on, you know, large scale warfare, team versus team. Like if everybody's in a chopper going at each other, like it doesn't really capture the same magic of previous Battlefield games. So I'm interested at like what you think they have to do to basically win you over. Like Halo Infinite coming out in a, you know, post Apex, post Warzone world, what does it have to pull off to be like, oh shoot, like, yeah, we should go play Halo and get some games in over here, because, you know, this is something that we're interested in. Like, what does that have to look like in your opinion?
I think we're going to need to definitely have like tight controls, like tight gameplay, you know, nothing that feels like reused or rehashed. Like I think it kind of falls into that gray area where you want it to feel like Halo. You don't want it to all of a sudden feel like, oh, now I'm playing Call of Duty, or now I'm literally playing Apex or something like that. It wants to feel familiar, but you want it to bring like a breath of fresh air to the series, so that way people actually have like an interest into continuing to play it. I think, you know, obviously I didn't play Halo growing up, but something that I guess has always sounded interesting to me from your perspective, having those, like, you know, those unlocks that you unlock throughout the ranks or throughout your levels as you level up, you know, certain armor sets, bringing that back, I think it would be something that will definitely entice players, both old and new, you know, kind of having that nostalgia factor for the old players. And then I guess just like new players being interested in having like some way to bling out their characters. I guess one thing that I hope they don't do is kind of have that, you know, armor system in place, but then offering it as like also like a microtransaction type of thing. I really hope that that's not something that not the route that Microsoft goes with Halo Infinite. I'm trying to think in terms of like, you know, the actual gameplay mechanics. I think there has to just be something. Obviously, you know, I'm not the game developer behind Halo Infinite, so I don't really know what's going on there. But I feel like there has to be some aspect to the game, like some game mechanic, either like based on your character or based on the game, like the multiplayer game that you're playing, that really like stands out. Perhaps like new map mechanics, like having like very like kind of maybe borrowing from the Battlefield formula of having destructible environments, having some way that you are able to interact with the environment. Cause I don't know, like in the previous Halo games, have you been able to like interact with the maps in any way while in a battle, like multiplayer, or they're just like, you know, they're just there to be there?
Yeah. I mean, no, not really. Like there have been, like there are certain map features where it's like, oh, you press this button and you lower a drawbridge or something like that, but it's never that extreme, like where the map is radically changing how the match kind of plays out.
Gotcha. Yeah, I see something like that as being something that could really elevate Halo Infinite, especially in a time where it needs to be elevated right now, because you know, obviously they kind of struggle a little bit in my eyes, especially with this whole year long delay that they've had. So I'm like I said, how long ago was that? Like months ago now. I'm rooting for it. I'm rooting for Xbox. I'm rooting for the Halo team. They deserve a dub on this one. So I'm hoping that they kind of like follow through with some of the things that I've, or you know, some of these expectations or anticipations that I've just listed off here.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree where I don't know exactly what they need to do to succeed in today's market. I think a big part of it is just being free, you know, just giving giving people an opportunity, make it easiest possible to kind of try these games out. But, you know, same for Battlefield, same for Knockout City, stuff like that. Like, it's tough. Like, I would even say, like, bring... you know, I know a lot of people have been saying this recently, but bring, you know, gameplay like Titanfall back. Titanfall 2, like, you know, we're talking about Apex. Like, Titanfall 2 was very, you know, inventive and new gameplay, and it just didn't take off for, you know, because it was kind of a niche, you know, game at the time, and it released right before, like, Call of Duty and I think Battlefield, 2 weeks before Battlefield or whatever, so it basically just got drowned out. But... you know, using mechs to just have like a deathmatch style, you know, game, like that's super cool to me. Like that's like the cool stuff that I want to see, where, you know, we don't have to use Battle Royale to be the hook and the sinker that, you know, gets people engaged and stuff. Like we can still have the battle passes. We can still make things feel super competitive. We can still have somewhat big maps, like big team battles or whatever. But, you know, Let's use some of the old gameplay mechanics that, like, for example, like you said, Halo doesn't need to be feel like Call of Duty or Apex where you're sliding all over the place. Like, I'm fine if we have, like, if Halo makes you feel like you really have to rely on skill, which was, you know, a big part of, you know, why Halo was super popular, where it was, like, very calculated. Like, three shots to the head is what you need. Like, if you land three shots with a battle rifle, that's it. Like, you got somebody, and you knew that. And so, like, if you missed one shot, and you're like, oh, man, I have to change all my entire strategy. I have to recalculate everything in the midst of this battle. Like, that's what I loved about Halo. Call of Duty was very much like, hey, look, I see somebody, I shoot, and they're dead in, like, a second, 2 seconds. Halo was very much like, hey, like, we see each other, and we're going to have this little tussle for, you know, 30 seconds and try and see who can get the best of each other based off of our weapon set and all that stuff. Titanfall is very interesting, where it's like, hey, look, this person just summoned their Titan. I have to now, you know, we have to now refocus our team strategy to figure out how to take this person down or, you know, combat this and stuff like that. So I hope that we get, you know, some more interesting game types and some more interesting multiplayer that makes you think, as opposed to just being like, okay, like this ring is closing in on me. So this means I have to think this way. I have to turn this way. I have to think about these, you know, specific character moves and stuff like that. I feel like the games kind of get played out in that way, where it's like, okay, we all know how to think about a battle royale. Sure, the weapon set and the character abilities will, you know, affect how you decide to strategize, but it's very, you know, samey right now. That's why I love Knockout City, where it's like, mm-hmm. we're dealing with a completely new concept where you have to, you know, be really creative. Like, you're like, hey, you just got to throw me right now. Throw me. This is how we get out of this situation. Like, that's fucking sick. So I hope Battlefield 6 and Halo Infinite honestly don't go the Battle Royale mode. But I, like you said, I hope they do have something that feels new but different at the same time, I guess. I'm really excited. I think we'll get more information at E3 about both of these things. So we'll see.
I'm ready for it. And one last thing I had, just like a thought that I feel like I've been thinking this for at least a little bit, related to the Battle Royale genre. In my mind, like, the way that I think about Battle Royale, I think of it as like a trend within the gaming sphere. And in my mind, it like is very reminiscent to me of how I think in the early 2010s or whatnot, how back then the trend, or maybe mid 2010s, the trend was like zombies, you know, and mm-hmm. everybody was making like a zombie game. You couldn't go in like 5 seconds without somebody saying, hey, we got this game and it's got zombies in it. This game and it's got zombies in it. And you're just like, bro, by the time a couple years had passed, everybody was just so sick and tired of hearing about zombies in a game. They're like, damn, y'all can't have any other type of creature in your game. Every game has to be a dystopian mm-hmm. apocalypse or something. You got your DayZs, you got your H1Z1, you got your freaking Unturned, like, you know, just all sorts of like random little games. Some of them, you know, were very, you know, successful, which I think is the same case that we have here with like the Battle Royales, but there were a lot of flops as well. So I'm curious to see what the next trend will be.
I'm glad you brought that up because like I said, I've been playing Gears of War. Mm-hmm. I'm currently in Gears 5, which is absolutely amazing. I can't wait to talk about that at some point. But yeah, you know, I'm playing Gears 4, and Gears 4 did this weird thing where there was parts in the campaign where they were like, hey, like, this level is literally just a horde mode. Like, this act that you do is like, hey, like, we're gonna give you a reason to set up camp and you're gonna literally do waves of horde mode. And I was like, dude, like, this is not fun. Like, this is so weird. Like, why are we doing this? And you do it like about three or so times in the game, in the campaign. I'm like, bro, what? And then like, it took me a second, but then I realized, wait, holy shit, these Gears of War created the horde mode. Like, I completely forgot about that. They created the horde mode, which transitioned into zombies is just like a, you know, refined horde mode.
Interesting.
You're setting up your base and like buying weapons and all this stuff. And you know, even Halo added their own horde mode in Halo Reach and Infinite. I believe, I don't remember if it was in Reach, but it was definitely in ODST, sorry. And like, that was another trend where it was just like horde mode. Like, we're gonna, you know, you're gonna squad up with three of your friends and, you know, face waves and waves of enemies. I completely forgot that originated in Gears of War, and that's a big reason why Gears of War is as popular as it is, because, you know, that was one gameplay mechanic that completely set them apart from everybody else at the time. So Battle Royale feels a lot similar to me, where everybody's, you know, trying to implement a Battle Royale in some way or another. The only difference is Battle Royale is making them an insane amount of money with the trend of the Battle Pass, kind of like basically changing multiplayer games forever. Battle Pass is always going to keep people invested in the ever-changing map. Like, all these things that did Epic own Gears of War at some point? I can't remember.
I doubt it, but...
I mean, I guess Microsoft always owned the Gears of War IP, but...
Yeah.
Anyways. Can you look that up real quick? But, yeah, like, they invented all these things that basically have added so much longevity to the Battle Royale and multiplayer format that it's like, even though this is a trend, I feel like this trend is going to stay for a long while.
No way. Yeah, you're right. They were created by Epic Games.
Yeah, so, no I mean, way. That's what Epic Games is, in a lot of ways, the GOAT of multiplayer. Like, a lot of the aspects of multiplayer they created that are still around today in a big way. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Let's see what Bungie... I guess it's not even Bungie anymore. I see what 343 and the Battlefield team come up with. But I hope things are shaken up, and I hope we're playing more than just the battle royale times. Because I ain't got the fucking time to be playing 20 battle royales.
Just give me nice little short. I need more arena style gameplay, but not Valorant though, because that
exactly. I mean, let's go back to the team deathmatch. Let's go back to Titanfall 2 stuff.
Yeah,
like,
I can see that. Yeah,
I'm so sad that nobody ripped off Titanfall 2's mechanics. Because that game was awesome. You know, somebody ripped that off and had their own spin on Titanfall 2.
Get back to us. We want to be early investors.
Exactly. You guys saw that we already got D Bofa on the podcast.
You so already know.
We'll get your game on there as well. But, yeah, I guess we'll get ready to close this out. This was kind of very a rambly, ranty talk about, you know, battle royale and the state of multiplayer games. We didn't even really talk about competitive gaming all that much, but like we said, we told you guys why we're in it to win it and how we see it. So
screw competitive games. That's esports. They have their own space.
Yeah, 100%. And I guess with that, let's get ready to wrap this show up. So thank you guys for listening to Player Player. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to us on your podcasting platform of choice. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes and tell your friends about us. If you want updates about future episodes and giveaways, or you want to submit a question to the show, visit playerplayerpod.com or follow us on social media at playerplayerpod. Big shout out to the boy Aaron Miller for the intro music. As always, you can follow him at The Miller Child on Instagram. You can find me on social media as The Hoop Man, where the E is a 3. You can find my co-host Arsene here as Pax Arsenico on Twitter and Twitch, where he streams every Thursday, or Arsene Lakpa on Instagram. And until next time, guys, keep shooting in video games and keep gaming.
Pew pew.
Don't shoot in real life. Yeah. Unless, you know,
don't do that.
Shooting range explicitly.
Nah.
Yeah, nah. All right, guys. See ya.